A man who beat a Londonderry father and left him in a vegetative state is likely to be released from prison this year, even though he's still refusing to give up the other members of his gang. Paul McCauley has been in the vegetative state since the sectarian attack 8 years ago to this very day. His father, Jim, says Daryl Proctor, the only man convicted in connection with the attack, should not qualify for early release until he names names. Jim is with us this morning. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. How is your son now, Jim?
Well, sadly, he remains as he was in the aftermath of the attack. He remains in a vegetative state with a predicted shortened lifespan. So it's a question of living with him, helping him as best as possible. He needs specialist care in a specialist unit 24/7.
What happened on the night, Jim? Describe to us what happened, if you can.
Yeah, going back in the night, there was one of their friends going off to teach English in Azerbaijan, and there was a barbecue in what would be a substantial property seen to be in Catholic ownership, adjacent to a loyalist estate in the waterside in Derry. And as the friends departed, a small group of four was left. The son of the house owner went in to collect bin bags, and the other three were clearing up around the bonfire that they had on their property. At which point, a gang of 14 to 15 came out of the darkness and attacked the three who were at the bonfire. They tramped on two of their heads, brought them to the ground, stamped on Paul's head. Paul died at the scene and was resuscitated once by his friends and twice in the ambulance on the way to casualty, and was later resuscitated again.
So Proctor stood in your son's head?
Well, he was involved in the attack. I can't give you the exact details because
By one of these gang, your son was kicked in the head.
He was kicked in the head, and
the judge
in his summing up said he was kicked with a booted foot or he was stamped upon, and that is basically the judge's interpretation of the event. And the end result is that the damage is so great that his skull could not be rebuilt. So on the right side of his head, there's about 6 square inches of skull missing, with a flap of skin between his brain and the outside world.
How old was your son at the time?
He was exactly half my age at the time. He was 29.
My goodness. The Independent Monitoring Commission linked this attack to the UDA.
Yeah, and, you know, I have challenged the UDA on a number of occasions for a reason for attacking a small group of Catholics on private property. We've never had a response. So, you know, in that there is an acceptance of guilt by them.
Daryl Proctor, he's the only man convicted in connection with the attack. You want him to give up the other names, which he's refusing to do so.
So, yeah.
Yet he's being released from prison. 50% remission is what he's getting. It's automatic because he was sentenced before that was done away with. So the authorities can't do much, but you're basically saying to us this morning, this is morally wrong. He won't say who the accomplices were, and he's getting 50% remission.
Yeah, and there was an adjournment debate contributed to by all political parties in the Assembly on February 2011. And one of the points that was made during that debate was that if it was within the gift of the minister, that Proctor should not get early release until he cooperates with PSNI. And that is my view and the family's view as well, in that he is restricting the process of the law with regards to the others who attacked Paul. And the police have come back with a gang figure of between 14 and 15 in the actual attack. And remember that this group was basically gathered on one side of the river in or around the Fountain Estate and transferred by car across the river to take part in the attack. So it's not a case that they were all strangers.
What impact does it have on you as a father, knowing that the man who stole your son's health, stole his health, and stole your son away from you, is getting out?
It's, you know, there's no reprieve for Paul, and his days are numbered. His days are simply lying on his back, looking at the ceiling with no communication, unless we are there or a small amount of specialist staff are there to work with him. We don't know what we're achieving because there's no communication. We make assumptions, and as I crudely put it, we throw mud, hoping that something sticks when we work with him. We repeat scenes that we feel might alert him or interest him. We read stories. We read books that he would have read himself. He was into science fiction. So we read a lot of Arthur C. Clarke, Asimov. We'll go for poets like Spender or Heaney and read poetry to him. We will go over the headlines in the daily papers to try and keep him abreast of what's happening, assuming that he can retain what we say to him. So he's in this state of limbo between life and death, and he's not the son we had is gone to this son in this state of limbo. And to leave anybody in a state which has been described as being worse than death, to give any sort of credit to the person or one of the people involved who admitted involvement in the attack, I find, and the family find, offensive.
Okay. We're out of time, unfortunately, but we did contact the prison service to ask about the prospect of Daryl Proctor being released. They have advice us to contact the Parole Commission, and we are waiting to hear back from the Parole Commission. Listen, we feel for you, and obviously, I think any parent listening to this today will really feel for you, Jim.
Stephen, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much indeed. Okay. Thank you. Morning to
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.